Do we need to do like some intro music, like background music, like some
Napoleon Dynamite music?
Yeah. What is that? What does that sound like? It's been a while since I've seen that music.
Yeah, that's about right. So tonight I have two special guests with me, Adam Lissagor and Cameron Hunt, who are both iPhone developers, and they have a new application that's ready to come out, or I guess we're holding on to it until the application comes out. I don't know, time travel, something like that. Either way, there will be an application. It's called Birdhouse, and that's what we're talking about tonight. Thanks for being here, guys.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for having us on.
I think this is called time shifting, what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Right.
The time travel is the thing with the beer.
And the payphone booth.
Yeah. Yeah. And the DeLorean. 88
miles per hour.
Right. And
I think you also have to be naked because, you know, you
one
can't.
Point.
Yeah, done. Okay, this is time travel. You're right.
Yeah. So anyway.
1.21 gigawatts.
Right. Gigawatts.
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 We're talking gigawatts. About Birdhouse.
Birdhouse, a notepad for Twitter.
So, Adam, I guess you're. Let's go over what you guys do at. What's the company? Sandy.
The little dummy company that I set up is just called Sandwich Dynamics.
Sandwich Dynamics, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the banner that it's gonna say above the product page on the App Store.
And then, really, and your campus is located in Los Angeles?
Well, I don't like to really think of it as a campus, but more of a celebrity center.
Okay.
With an RE instead of an ER. That's just where, you know, people of a higher caliber can just come and hang out and do whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a new product coming out. It's called Birdhouse. Well, it's, first of all, Adam, you're the, what do you do at Sandy, what is it, Sandwich? Sandwich Dynamics?
Yeah, Sandwich Dynamics. I don't know. Like, what do? I wake up and I go have coffee, the dog.
And
the way this kick, how about we tell the story? Cameron and I can tell the story of how it came into being.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do that.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
Okay. So, what happened was, this is what happened. I'm going to start off, Cameron, if that's okay. And then you just jump.
That's fine.
Whenever you, feel, you know, the heat of the beat, so to speak. All right. So this is how it happened. Twitter came out, and I guess it's almost 2 years or maybe a little bit more than 2 years that I've been on Twitter. How long for you, Cameron?
I think I got on last year sometime when it got feasible. There's people I knew on it.
Yeah. Okay. So where there was potentially something to keep you interested.
Exactly.
And what about you, Michael? How long?
I got on after in 2007 after I saw iJustine. She had her she had her little cell phone, and she was talking to Leo Laporte, and so, you know, I heard that she was on the Twitter, and you know, she's a pretty lady, and all I mean, that's all I have to say. I mean, I was there at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I signed up.
So you did it because a pretty lady did it, is what you're saying.
Isn't that why everything's done, though? For the ladies?
I guess you're right. Quick iJustine story.
Okay.
Like, can I tell an iJustine story?
Absolutely. Yeah, she doesn't listen.
Yes.
Okay, so long before I ever started, doing, you know, a podcast or really my Tumblr site or anything like that, I was on my lunch break from work in Santa Monica, wandering on 3rd Street Promenade, and I see this girl, iJustine, that I recognized from the internet. She had recently just kind of come into her own as a web celebrity, and she was wearing the hat, and she was, you know, with a camera on it, because she was at that point live streaming when Justin so-and-so started his. It's been so long now, I forget the names of these things, but
Justin TV.
Justin TV, yeah.
Yeah, his last name was TV, so it worked well for the domain name.
Oh yeah, well, his real name is actually Justin Tuvalu. So he was able to like work a deal out with ICANN. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't. No. But TV is where I'm going with that is the TV is short for Tuvalu, I think.
Was that the
or
story?
Tuva?
I thought it was short for Telemundo.
Anyhow, so long story short, I go, Justine was being followed around by a camera crew for Yahoo because they were doing a feature on her. And while the cameras were on, I went up and introduced myself. And then it was L.A., so people didn't really recognize her. I mean, we're not a hugely internet savvy town.
Not many people in L.A. have computers, I gather.
No, we're mostly working on Tandy electric word processors.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But we do screenplays, and you know what a screenplay is? It's a thing. You've seen movies, right?
Yeah, some I think so.
It's an LA thing. I'll explain later.
Okay.
It's like a book, but boring.
Right.
so you went up to Justine and.
Oh, I just introduced myself, and then the camera crew was all interested in how I knew her because they were focusing on this idea of celebrity and live streaming as a celebrity. And so they interviewed me. This guy, Kevin Seitz, interviewed me for about, I don't know, 3-4 minutes. And then the clip that they chose to cut into this segment that they put on the front page of Yahoo, it cuts to me as some unnamed dude. And I say, I recognize Justine because she has camera on her head.
that's nice.
It cuts away. And that's all. That was like my coming out party to the internet.
That sounds nice. It sounds like you're working on your. I mean, you've obviously improved your grammar since then.
Yeah. Well, I went to charm school since then. I graduated from.
That's nice. They have that in L.A.
Okay. They require it in L.A.
Yeah, it's a prerequisite for doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Do you know that the iPhone actually came from something prior to it called the computer, the Apple computer?
No, what is it? You say it's a computer?
How do I even put this? It's like a phone. It's like a really big phone, except that you can't really use it. Well, I suppose you could. Originally, they were intended to I think for word processing and... this was in the days prior to email and even
now what is this word processing? Because I'm not really sure.
Oh, okay. I see. I've skipped far too much time, but
it's like Twitter, but there's more words and usually some kind of bullshit.
So, yeah, the thing about Twitter that's the reason for its success probably more than anything is that there's no correct way to use Twitter. And so there's this whole community developed of people that are using Twitter in a way that I think that the creators and founders of Twitter never envisioned. And that's for a platform for creative expression rather than just like social networking or communication. And so that's actually kind of how I met Scott Simpson and Merlin Mann and how we got palled up for our show.
You do a show called You Look Nice Today.
Yeah.
I guess we didn't mention that yet. But yeah, You Look Nice Today. And it's a funny, funny show.
Yes.
So check, pause this, go to your MP3 player and download it and then come back. Make sure you finish the episode, though.
Yeah, and then it'll prepare you for the comic hilarity that's about to ensue.
Yeah. So anyway, so you're that's where the idea for this was born.
Well, before the first time Scott Simpson and I hung out, he came to LA and said, "Hey, we should get a drink and take in a UCB show." So we did, and while we were waiting for the show to start, we both kind of pulled out our iPhones and both opened up our notes applications and sort of glanced over. He glanced at mine and I glanced at his. We sort of noticed that we both had this note that we kept ideas for our Twitter of funny stuff to write. And this is kind of like a epiphany moment for me, where it's almost like peering behind the curtain. I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to share this. You know, I apologize, Scott. I've just outed him as a non-spontaneous Twitter writer. But anyway, yeah. So I started to think, well, maybe this is a more common thing than I think, and that, you know, people are actually writing this stuff down and in preparation because they want to sort of get it right. It takes some doing, some actual, you know, some effort and a little bit of thought to get your idea that you want to express into the most concise and effective, efficient 140 characters or less that you can. So that's where the idea sort of gestated for me. And then meanwhile, across across the sea, Cameron was in Newburgh, Oregon, yeah, thinking his happy thoughts. And you take it away, Cameron.
Okay, yeah. Well, I was writing on Twitter, and I kind of stumbled onto. Well, I knew Adam from
from the internet.
See, everything that I think of, it needs to be clarified by something before. Basically, I did a couple themes for Tumblr that were pretty popular and mm-hmm. still used today. Pretty.
Yeah, Cameron's the go-to guy. He's a web designer in his sort of former incarnation, right? Is that fair to say, Cameron?
Yeah, now I'm a phoenix rising from the web design ashes. So Adam had me commission me, took advantage of my underselling, and had me design lonelysandwich.com, his Tumblr,
yeah,
which I really enjoyed.
But I really took him. I took him to the cleaners on that one because, you know, even though he was charging like something ridiculous, like $300 for a full redesign, I told him I could easily go to India and have some kid do it for like, you know, a third of that. So basically I got it. I got a redesign from Cameron for like $20 and a burger.
Yeah. Yeah. He took me out for a burger and, you know, he didn't give me any ketchup, but that's okay.
And then the check bounced. So sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting back at you. Yeah, so about that time, I got kind of into following Adam and Merlin and Gruber and these people who put more thought and, you know, creative oomph into their Twitter account. And they don't just post nonsense every 30 minutes or every 20 minutes. And I admired it. And I decided that I kind of wanted to emulate that a little more. But the real big problem was that I wasn't very good at it. because I suspected that they didn't. They just did this off the top of their heads, and they're geniuses now. I'm a stupid idiot. So I had this idea, you know, maybe I should have this place where I can write stuff and then I can think about it before I publish. Because I was doing things like I'd open up my iPhone app while I was going to sleep. And I'd open up like an iPhone Twitter client while I was going to sleep and I'd write something. And I'd be like, oh, that's funny. Next day, you know, when I wake up, it's not funny. It wasn't. So I needed something to negate my poor sense of judgment. And that's kind of the
idea. So I need to protect you from yourself. Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's I think a couple of users really like that about, because when you publish, it asks you to publish. If you really want to publish, it asks you to confirm the publish.
Right. And, in Birdhouse, you're saying.
Yeah. And a lot of users like that because, like, you know, if they're drunk, they look at that and they see this confirmation that says published ?
And it's scary.
And I think,
It is scary. So like
you did something wrong and maybe you should put your phone down and maybe think about it later.
Yeah, it almost has its own inflection. Like, are you sure? Really?
I don't know. Are you drunk?
That one kind of sucks.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they've announced in 3.0 that you can use accessories with your iPhone now, and you know, maybe we should hook it up with a breathalyzer. Yeah.
So we haven't really explained what Birdhouse is yet. So the listener is probably under the impression that it's just a thing that asks you if you really, really want to post what you've just written. But short form of it is actually it's go back to storytelling mode. Cameron started talking on his website and stuff about how he wanted to sort of step away from doing web design. He wasn't really satisfied with that.
Terrible with clients.
The path that he'd taken. Yeah, terrible with clients and didn't really want to deal with it anymore. And that he was hinting that he wanted to learn some Cocoa and work on his own apps for the Mac platform. And so I was interested in this, and I knew that he's obviously a really smart guy. And I said, well, you know, what are you working on? What ideas do you have? This is all over email.
Yeah. Adam said, what you got cooking?
What you got cooking? Because that's how I talk. I mean, it's just my own lingo, really. And I do a lot of apostrophe, you know, and apostrophe just because, you know, G's are for squares.
Yeah, it's hip. It's what the kids are doing.
Right. So that's how I talk. It's just a thing. Get used to it. So I said, what you got cooking, Cameron? And he said, I don't know. I had an idea for Twitter, Twitter client. And I said, oh, I have an idea for Twitter client too, but mine, you know, don't worry because mine wouldn't compete with yours. It's something that nobody else is doing. And at that point I had this idea, you know, that there needs to be a way to capture your thoughts, your ideas for Twitter as if in a notes application, but you can also then publish those ideas to Twitter. And so I said, what are you working on?
And Cameron replied, well, I had
a couple ideas, and I said, well, I really want to work on a Twitter application, like a full featured one, but that's, looking back, that's really stupid and ambitious for a first project.
One of your other ideas was a Twitter app that every time you posted a tweet, it would automatically order from Amazon a new bag of Fritos for you to eat, so you can, you know, while you're mulling over your next tweet.
Yeah, yeah, and it would make a fart sound when it did that.
Yeah,
and you know, we missed out, and now the market's just flooded with.
Yeah, million-dollar ideas. It's
Rito, Amazon buying applications. So
plus, you know, Tweety also has the flashlight along with the wet farts.
Yeah, I know, we can't compete with that. So just to frame this, I didn't know any programming before I started this application. So this is 5 months of figuring out exactly how to program.
Yeah, which is the most beautiful. Poetic part for me as a bystander. Cameron wrote back to me over email. I wanted to make something where you can save your drafts for what you want to write on Twitter. And then I was like, well, isn't this a happy coincidence? And I remember I got so excited and I texted him. And I said, well, I thought about it for like a half an hour or something. I just molded over, and I knew that we'd worked before on a project, and we went successfully. So I wrote him, I texted him, would it be the worst idea in the world for us to partner up and work together? Since neither one of us really knew any coding or any Cocoa or Objective-C. And I said, you know, we can both try to, you know, learn as much as we can as we go and see what happens. And Cameron said, yes, that sounds like a good idea. So, so we both from that moment went about learning in our own different ways. And I did sort of the not so smart way for my style of learning, which is I went to Barnes & Noble and I bought a book on Objective-C, and I bought a book on Cocoa, and I went home and I tried to start reading, and I'm not a good reader, and this stuff is dry, like dry as a bone. So
no plot like 2 months twists with Coco.
Yeah. So I spent about 2 months learning and forgetting half of what there was to know about Objective C. And then Cameron, in the meantime, just started doing tutorials.
I learned by doing. Yeah. So I just jump in and make a ton of mistakes and have to, you know, redo the mistakes, but then I learn it very well.
Right.
So which
works out for him. And then at some point down the road, it just became really super glaringly obvious to me that I wasn't going to be contributing anything programmatically to this process. So Cameron took off in a big way, and I had gotten into that iPhone Tech Talk in Los Angeles when they brought all the iPhone evangelists in one, you know, hotel conference room and put on a little seminar. And I was there. I spent the day there. And this was about a month after Cameron and I had first started talking about this project. And then I got a email or a call or something in the middle of the day, towards the end of the day, and Cameron was like, you know, I stayed up real late last night, and I sort of accidentally, I started a tutorial and I accidentally turned it into like a skeleton version of our project, of our application. Yeah. And it worked.
What happened is there's like this tutorial to make a to-do application to list, you know, to-do items. And it's basically, you know, a way to store text in a database, you know, by item. And so I thought, you know, that's not far off from the basic idea for Birdhouse.
Yeah.
So I completed the tutorial at like 3 a.m. and I said, I could probably do this in a couple hours and make it into Birdhouse.
And lo and behold, he did. So it was a very, very basic posting. It would say, you know, you could save your drafts and post them, and it worked. And he used, you know, he built it off of another Twitter engine. Do you want to talk about that Twitter engine?
MG Twitter engine, which is what Twitterific uses, has a really great Twitter engine that's
written and shared generously by Matt Legend.
Yes, has a very generous license by Matt Gemmel. I believe that's how you.
Oh, is it Gemmel? I would assume Gemmel.
Oh. Jamel. I don't want to. Adam's probably smarter with these things than me. So,
I went to charm school. Don't forget.
Oh yeah.
So, is this any of this interesting, Michael? Or are you going to cut most of this out?
I've actually stopped recording. like 20 minutes ago. When I first heard about it, honestly, I was really confused at why it existed.
Definitely, it's a common reaction. A lot of people are just the first reaction is, "Wow, that's kind of a stupid idea." Really, you're gonna do that? Well, actually, I got one. I hung out with a friend that I went to college with a couple of nights ago. Went and had a drink with him, and he's sort of this guy is a notorious. Misanthropic kind of jerk. And I said, first off, he said, "What are you doing these days?" And I said, "Well, I'm working on an iPhone application." You know, first of all, that's not really anything to brag about in this town so much. I mean, is that, I don't know if it's anything to brag about anywhere, but
San Francisco,
I'm certainly maybe in San Francisco. So I'm certainly proud of it. And I'm like, "Oh, I'm working on an iPhone application with a partner." And he said, "Oh, what is it?" And I said, "Well, do you know what Twitter is?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, are you on Twitter? Do you have an account?" And he goes, "No, because I'm not a 16-year-old girl." And I was like, "Oh, interesting. Well, okay, so you entirely missed the point, and you haven't changed at all since I knew you in college. And by the way, what are you doing that's so special?" But that's all right. Paul's not listening to this podcast.
Because
he's not a 16-year-old girl, exactly. So he's not our target audience, obviously. But then he said, oh, so what does your application do? And I said, well, it's a way to, most applications are for reading from your Twitter, from your friends' updates on Twitter. And our application is specifically for writing to your Twitter, but you can save your drafts for Twitter and you can work on them later and you can post them when you feel like they're ready. And he goes, oh, really? Are a lot of people saving like 2 and 3 drafts of their Twitters? And I was like, okay, I'm done here. So, and then I listened to him talk about himself for about a half an hour. Anyhow. So yeah, a lot of people, just aren't going to get it the first time they hear it. And that's fine because it's a non-obvious idea. But yeah. once you find yourself needing it, it clicks. And I think it makes sense.
Well, I think it's valuable seriously to talk about, my story with Birdhouse.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Because, you know, I'm on the Twitter and I don't really understand why people follow me, to be honest, because most of my stuff is BS and or crap that really only matters to me and people who actually know me in real life. I finally, after a while, I considered Birdhouse at first and then I looked at what it did. And then I had his reaction, your friend's reaction where, you know, I don't understand that.
I think I told you about it at Macworld, didn't I?
Yeah. We met at Macworld. If you have never met Adam, he's a very hirsute, individual.
And that day I was walking around the showroom floor without my shirt.
So it was really easy to spot him. And
so actually Michael, it was the funniest story. He got caught in my back hair and I felt something. I felt this chunk of something in my back hair. And
all
like,
you saw was just an iPhone sticking out, just someone holding onto an iPhone sticking out of your back hair.
Yeah. And history was made that day.
Yeah. And so he told me about the Birdhouse and I said, yeah, I'll check that out. If you find that your Twitters are just, you know, hey, getting coffee or, you know, LOL or fail, you know, that kind of crap. And you kind of want to get, you want to be a Twitter raconteur, go for Birdhouse because it really does help you think about what you're about to publish because I have funny ideas. At least I think they're funny.
They are.
Okay. So, and I know you follow me on Twitter and, I have funny ideas and I can just put them down into the Twitter and they, you know, they're not really shaped up. Yeah, they're not massaged into what they really should be at the time that I think of them. So I put them down into the Birdhouse and later on I'll come back to them and I'll look at it and I say, oh, okay. You know, there's something I could, you know, I could rearrange these words or I could make it sound funnier this way. Or I could, you know, if something is just simply too long, the way it first comes out of my head that, you know, it's more than 140 characters. You know, Birdhouse is good for that because it's not gonna cut you off as you're typing it out. You can type out, you know, a science paper's worth of funny stuff, and it's not, you know, it's gonna tell you, you know, it's too much, but it's gonna let you type that out so you can edit it down later on.
Well, that's a great endorsement. I love it. You did a really excellent job describing your user case, and I also love the word raconteur, and you used it exquisitely and appropriately. I think that's still Gruber's, John Gruber's. Is that you, Cameron?
He's clapping into his iMic.
What, golf clap?
Into his iMic microphone.
So the word raconteur is, I think that's still John Gruber's bio on his Twitter page, right? At Gruber.
Mm-hmm.
I think it still says raconteur. And he really is. And you know, like, not to get all high minded or anything, but for me, all of these means of expression on the internet, they're all about, you know, sort of trite to say it, but they're all about storytelling, right? They're all in different ways of enabling us to tell a story, and not a story that we're telling necessarily 140 characters, within 140 characters. But if you go back, you know, if you pick a random spot in your own personal Twitter timeline of all of your posts, and you read it, you can sort of automatically associate where specifically you were in your story, and then it all of a sudden becomes clear that what you've been doing since you signed up for Twitter or since you signed up for Flickr or since you signed up for Tumblr, anything, that is what you're doing is you're telling your story.
Yeah, and I went.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I recently did actually go back into my Twitter history and to look at all the mundane crap that I've published and sent out to the internet and bored everyone to death with.
No, but you know what? Even if it's mundane and you consider it crap, it's still your story. And you know, even if your little slice of your story at that particular moment was, you know, this line at the Kmart is really super long and irritating. Maybe you remember what it was you were in line to buy. Maybe you were buying a pregnancy test because your girlfriend had missed a period. And I don't know. That's not a mundane story, is it?
No, it's not. But yeah.
And how did that go anyway? How did that turn out?
We don't talk about it anymore.
All right. No. So that's your story. That's private. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pry. But
yeah, no, that's why I put it on the Twitter. So people would ask and I would make them feel awkward.
I don't feel awkward. Our audience does. Let me just go, you know, bring it back around to Birdhouse.
Okay.
Anything that sort of facilitates or works in the service of telling your story with a little bit more attention to detail, a little bit more of an eye towards quality, because after all, it is your story, and if you're in control of your own biography, then why not make it good?
Exactly.
That's why we made Birdhouse, really.
Yeah,
it's
really for people who are usually drunk when they Twitter or who are schizophrenic.
Yeah. Or people who are just terrible at writing or not interesting. It'll make you more interesting.
It will. Sure. It's really, to be honest, yeah, without any BSing or fooling around, it really does. It makes me feel like whenever I Twitter from Birdhouse, I know that it's a really good post and that I hope that someone gets enjoyment out of it. And I was just thinking about this the other day, maybe in addition to, you know, maybe like in a 1.2 update or something, you can add a view, like a vanity search. Just mm-hmm. for all the at replies that you get. And it says, you know, this is in reply to, you know, this Twitter.
Yeah.
That you put out there.
Oh, so more of a feedback built into the Birdhouse application.
Maybe, because I know Twitter has the APIs in the API. It's built in that you can, whenever someone does an at reply, it actually knows which at reply, what it's referencing.
Right, it makes the link. Right.
So you can actually post. Maybe tag that on too, because you have a history too in uh-huh. Birdhouse. So maybe mm-hmm. you can tag that on, and every time you open it up, it'll refresh and search for any at replies. And if they apply to any of the Birdhouse Twitters, it'll say, hey, you have, you know, one guy saying LOL to that last Twitter.
And that feels good.
Yeah, it does.
And so if you're going to feel good, we want Birdhouse to be the one that makes you feel good.
It makes me feel really good.
All right. So anyway, like to that point, Cameron and I have lots of, fun and interesting ideas. We've, you know, obviously been working on this for months now. We every night, every time we talk about, you know, new ideas, new features, where it can go. And so we've gotten a lot. We've come up with a lot ourselves. We've gotten a lot of great ideas from our, you know, beta testers. At this point is now about 50 strong of just like great, really thoughtful people that give us just exactly the right kind of feedback. And then
there's me. And then I gave you one suggestion and it's still not in there. So, but
what was your suggestion, Michael?
It was the Dorito thing.
Oh yeah, no, that was a terrible idea. It's definitely coming. Version 3, at least 3 or 4.
3 or 4. Okay.
Yeah, 3 or 4.
Can we get that sponsored by Doritos? Because that might be something.
Yeah.
If we just
that'll happen when we transition this to the Facebook application, which is our ultimate goal.
I think what you can do for the sponsorship with Doritos is just kind of put overlay some crumbs over all your Twitters in Birdhouse, and mm-hmm. like just so subtle enough that people think that they are crumbs, and then they try to brush them off, and every time they brush one off, they get another point, and it says brought to you by Doritos.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a fantastic bastardization of our original idea.
How much is Birdhouse going to be when it hits the App Store?
When it hits the App Store, it's going to be $3.99. Price of a latte, people. Come on.
Yeah. Come on. To make your story better, you only have to pay as much as a latte.
Yeah, and think about these guys. I mean,
no, we need our lattes.
Yeah, they need their lattes. If they get one Birdhouse app purchased a day, they get 70% of a latte. And then they have to split
which we
that.
Share. And which then we share between us.
35% of a latte.
it's delicious. Yes. Cameron gets mostly the milk part, and I just take the dregs.
Yeah, well, I don't like coffee, so.
Cameron gets the froth.
I'm one of them.
So it's a good deal for me.
Oh, yeah.
But it's maybe a biscotti, too. You know, maybe we should consider charging $4.99 and get a biscotti in there.
Yeah, or maybe Dorito crumbs. Those are cheap.
Yeah, maybe you can. You know how developers, they do the special deals every once in a while. Like, hey, it's the developer's birthday, so, you know, half off. Maybe you can, you know, hey, it's, you know, Adam's a little behind on his rent. we're going to raise the price just for you guys this month only.
That's a good... I like that.
And then maybe you can buy it twice.
Yeah, it'll be $3.99 in the App Store, and we feel like that's a price that the market will bear. I don't know. Does that mean something? I don't know what market bearing means, but I'm gonna say the market will bear $3.99.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Bear.
It's true.
I guess you're in the market.
I guess we should wrap it up because this turned out to be an entire show, I think. I think it's going to irritate most of my listeners, and we're probably going to lose them all. But it's fine, you know. Whatever.
Yeah. Should we start again? Do you want to? Should we just like? We should make it more succinct.
So yeah, Adam and this Chad guy, they made an application, and it Twitters stuff.
Chad is very talented. It's been a pleasure to work with him, and basically he did all the work, and I'm just gonna collect all the glory. If that's cool, Chad, you okay?
Yes.
All right, good.
Chad has an accent,
so that's worth that.
Apparently, yeah. Well, if you're gonna call me Chad, I might as well.
Yeah.
You know, create an identity and have fun with
it. It's like going to a new high school.
Yeah, like I do all the time.
Every year. Okay, so twitter.com/lonelysandwich.
Yeah.
That's Adam's Twitter.
Cameron's is twitter.com/camh, C-A-M-H.
And I recently changed it from twitter.com/chad.
Yeah, with a little accent mark on it. And so now, you know, it's accent mark free, so you can actually type it in.
It's Chad E, but the E is silent, so.
Yeah.
So and then Adam does. I guess he's known as Sandwich on the You Look Nice Today.
In some circles, yeah. So on You Look Nice Today, and then what else? Birdhouseapp.com.
Yeah, that thing that we're talking about. I think you can get it in iTunes.
Yeah. So when this episode of your podcast of iPhone Alley drops, by the time this drops, you'll be able to go to birdhouseapp.com.
I think we're gonna
find the link.
Did you tell me that I'm supposed to hold on to this until it drops?
Yeah, but the listener isn't going to know that.
Yeah, so we're going to edit all this out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a 2-minute
podcast. I can say anything I want. It'd be edited out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toys R Us.
Now I have to do editing.
Oh, damn.
Use your editing, Michael.
Okay. And my Twitter is twitter.com/MichaelJohnston. And so occasionally I Twitter from Birdhouse.
Because you should do.
Yeah, Twitter. Everybody, Twitter from Birdhouse. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can put that on you can put that can be your first endorsement on your App Store page. It's pretty cool in quotes, and then, you know, dash Michael Johnston.
No. I had fun. Did you have fun, Cameron?
I've never been on a podcast before, and I'm psyched, actually.
So. Yeah, I think we did good. I think you, what you should do is maybe just cut out everything except the part where I say I recognize Justine because she had a camera on her head.
Just cut, and that'll be the entire episode.
Yeah.